time for another edition of One-on-One with Ducky. Here's your host, Sean Hugis.
Greetings, Grinders. Another episode of One-on-One with Ducky. I'm your host, Ducky Succumbs, a.k.a. Sean Hugis. This is probably the 20th of these we've done. We've done a lot of them and feeling great about it. And we have a special guest, a very popular person in the Roto Grinders industry today on the show. Our favorite meteorologist, Kevin Roth, is on the show. Welcome.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here. I have so many questions for you.
Really?
I think I might just be flipping the script on you right off the bat.
Oh, well, go ahead. Why don't you start? Go right ahead. I mean, I could get into yours at any point. Let's find out about me. Sure.
Okay.
Go for it.
Sean, mm-hmm. And yet you go by Ducky.
Right. Why do I go by Ducky?
Why do you go by Ducky? And two, do you already have to be a nice guy to get called Ducky? Or does being called Ducky make you a nice guy? Because you can't be at work if your name's Ducky.
I'm sure some people would argue the point I'm a nice guy. But Ducky came from a nickname when I was a little kid. And then it disappeared for years. I think it was mainly because, you know, I had one of those little duck lips when I was a baby or something like that. It was from that far back. And then it became this thing where it disappeared for 15 years. I didn't have it during school or anything like that. And then we were coming up with names for, you know, you play on a rec team or something like that. And it's like, what's your nickname? And it came up. My brother was talking about, oh, we used to call you Ducky. So it just started catching. And then Ducky Succumbs came from the fact that Al Seinfeld kept trying to get me to join DFS and I wouldn't do it. And then finally I gave in, so I named my team, or my entry name, Ducky Succumbs. So,
okay, I remember the last one, how you got the Succumbs. And I think I tweeted this actually once, that I used to think it was Ducky Succumbs. So
yeah, well, I mean, no, a lot of people on that. The one time I made it into a final tournament, Dan Bach did a notice. He goes, "Ducky's Crumbs won the spot this year," and I was like, "Oh, all right." And then Al was on the show with him, so he said, "You know, I know who this is. It's Ducky Succumbs." So yeah. So, and as for the nice guy thing, I'll let other people be the judge of that. I can't really. I mean, this is coming from you. Everybody loves you. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if I compare to that.
Yeah, they love
you. Well, that's true. Okay, well, let's start with that. So, I mean, you're still doing weather in Dallas on television.
Yep.
But as the amount of, we'll say, questioning of the weather, has it grown exponentially since you've joined the DFS community, or were you getting people questioning you just from doing the news on TV?
By questioning, do you mean bitching? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Okay.
I was being as nice as possible. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I would say it's grown a bit. Now you get your fair share on TV of people that are just like, "What? I looked at the weather app and it said there was no rain and it's raining." And I'm like, well, first off, weather apps suck and I didn't make the weather app forecast. Second,
right.
I said it was going to rain and whatever, things can happen. You get a little bit of that in TV, not a whole lot. Because like no one's, I guess maybe you're just more open and more of a target in DFS because of Twitter. Like people that watch TV are older, right? So people that watch morning news generally like 50 up just on average. So if they're going to complain, they have to like go through the whole process of sending an email. Whereas DFS, everybody is already on Twitter with me. So if something goes wrong, all they have to do is just tweet, "You're jackass." it's easy for them. And so I probably hear more of the complaints because of just a more accessible on Twitter.
And you know the people that are complaining are the ones that only have like $8 in the tournaments right now. It's not the people that are playing for $1 million every time.
I've never had like, who's the, The guy that was formerly Max.
Oh, I'd say he'll suit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I noticed, like, he's never complaining about a missed weather. You know, like, the high players never complain or question. So it's, I guess it is kind of the guy who's got $2 in who's screaming about it.
Well, I apologize for all the things I've said to you then, I guess. Yeah, my other account, so I'm just using it to bombard you with weather complaints. Dude, well, here's something we can explain to people. Okay, let's say it says 50%. Does that mean 50% chance of rain, or does that mean there's 50% coverage of rain in the area? What would be the easy explanation for that?
That's the best part about your question right there, is there is no easy explanation. That's why percentages are...
Oh, okay.
Because it's really not either. It's like a mix of both, kind of. So okay. Percentages, a lot of meteorologists are going away from percentages and just using descriptive terms like scattered, isolated. Because those percentages, nobody knows what the hell they mean. And they don't really mean
right.
a lot. So people are kind of going away from those a little on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't use percentages. Well, you know, and I don't use percentages in my forecast, you know, a general.
It's vague. Yeah. I'm 12% chance of rain. I mean, I see that sometimes up on the Roto-Grinders site, even it says, well, at 7 o'clock, there's a 12% chance of rain.
Yeah.
No, it's yeah. like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, who's that exact in that possibility? But so you have a busy schedule. I mean, we had to work this timing out perfectly just to get you on, and I thank you for coming on, by the way. But what how long is your day, and what are your hours usually during the course? Because you do the morning show for
Dallas. I'm hoping weather, and that means the alarm goes off at 1:30 every day in the morning. Oh. Yeah. And yeah. If I'm really feeling like a bad boy, I'll switch it to 1:35.
Yeah, on the edge. So
I'm feeling like a rebel. Get up, get suited up, get in, forecast the weather, do all that. I'm at work before 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I start doing my forecasts. I'm recording like on TV weathercasts by 3:30 a.m. Then I do my live show for 3 hours of that from 5 to 8 a.m. Then I start doing stuff for the evening show after that, all still TV stuff. So I'm at work till like around 10 a.m. or so. And then I'll come home, crush a nap if I can, if I have time, get up, and then start forecasting for baseball, which I start kind of early afternoon. And that baseball just gets increasingly more stressful and more difficult as you get closer to the game. Doing
well,
the
yes.
XM radio hits and doing Grinders Live. And then I like to try to keep people updated after the games. So I'm usually up 8 or 9, like trying to give tweet updates, and then I fall asleep hoping that a game doesn't get postponed. I wake up in the morning at 1:30 after like 4 hours of sleep, and I do it again.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. So you're really doing like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a day is basically.
Yeah. The nap is pretty important on this schedule.
Yeah. Naps are vital. I understand some people work 9 to 5 and I get it and that thing. If you're a DFS person, a lot of you don't work. I mean, I'm really stressing. Naps are vital to get you through the day. I'm just letting, you know, just some advice. I try to pass on some advice sometimes.
That's just a PSA for the world. Naps are vital.
Yeah, it's like, naps are vital. They're brought to you by the Ducky Succumbs Council for better rest, I guess. So you do the morning show now. Now, you started off as a meteorologist, but now you have to do on-sites and skits and things like of that sort and little stunts. How did you prepare to get into that, or was it just something you were naturally willing and able to do?
You just kind of, like, in this business, you just get thrown into crap, and you either accept it and do it, or you say no and somebody else does it and you kind of lose your share, you know?
Yeah.
So, like right now, they just keep, hey, Kevin, you want to do this? Want to do this? So now I'm doing, I do the weather, obviously. I do it for a lot of cities. I do sports. I'm like the sports broadcaster for my station. Traffic. I host the show. I talk politics. I do, you know, whatever whatever it is. I was sort
of. Yeah, what are those other people doing there then? That's the important
damn good question.
Sounds like you're doing the whole damn show there. I mean, come on.
It's not too far from the truth.
I mean, I'd be happy to step in if you needed something like a movie review or something like that. I'd jump in. I'll do what I can for you.
I can. Need the help, man.
I know. If you need to fill 5 minutes, I'll jump in and do five. Whatever I could do, man. Yeah, least I could do. But
that's right there.
Yeah, say the least. But oh, by the way, I shouldn't say the least. Somebody caught me on that saying I say that phrase way too much. So
yeah,
and I just did it. So well, it's okay. I mean, they're not paying. They're not paying me millions to do this. I'll work on correcting it when the big bucks come in.
I didn't know that you would get trolls on this. Like, of all the places to troll people watch this, I'm like, oh, you've got a crutch phrase.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I mean, everybody does the. You could be doing a podcast for yourself, and your alternate personality will be complaining to you about it. It's amazing, but it's fine. No, actually, mostly everybody's been nice. I can't really. I'm on the lucky side. I know, considering some of the other guys on Rotor Grinders, I probably don't get as hit as some of them do. But the difference is I'm not making picks, which probably has a lot to do with
right.
it. So
while we're on cover our ass mode, I want to point out real quick that I would say 99.99% of DFS followers and almost all of the Rotor Grinders, they don't really complain. They're all positive. It is like a small vocal minority of people that actually complain. So I got to give my Twitter followers some love, because even if something doesn't go exactly to plan, I rarely get crapped on for it. And I appreciate them for that.
Well, good callback on that. I think that was good. Yeah, we should be clear. We love, I won't use the word fans. We love our followers.
Followers. I guess.
We'll be the accurate assessment. So in terms of movies and TV, there have been a lot of people that have played weathermen or meteorologists.
What a good question.
So is there one that you relate to the most or that you use as an example the most, probably?
I think probably the most famous one now is Brick Tamlin, you know, doing weather. And they always make the weatherman out to be the stupid guy.
Like right.
In all of the shows and all, the weather guy's the stupid guy. And really, realistically, you have four people up there, and the weather guy is the one with like the advanced degree and the one who has to ad lib and do like 19 different things. And yet, for whatever reason, Hollywood made him the idiot. I'm so salty about that.
I can sense that, yeah. I mean, yes, Brick Tamlin's not the ideal example of a weatherman, I would assume, to a weatherman. They probably, if you saw Steve Carell right now, would you give him grief for that, or would you just be happy you met Steve Carell?
Right in the face, Steve.
Okay. Steve, he's come out right here on the show live. So just want you to know, stay away from Kevin Roth. The one I like was Steve Martin in L.A. Story. Have you ever seen L.A. Story?
I did. I have not seen the L.A. Story. So
okay. Well, you might. It's an older movie, but he's an L.A. weatherman, and he would walk into the station and go 72, 72, 72, and then leave. That would be the whole show. So
L.A.
Yeah, it's fairly. Well, it's kind of amazing, actually. Hold on, I got it. So my Gmail just went off. I'll shut that. Okay, there we go. It's kind of amazing. L.A., for a city that doesn't have a lot of weather, freaks out more about the weather than any other station. It's start of the news.
I've heard it's just going to rain, like a little rain shower. They go all out, and there's like reporters. I've seen I saw a live shot in front of one of those tiny little cones that say slippery when wet. And they were doing a live shot like, be careful. If it rains, the marble here will get.
Yeah, and they call it storm watch out here. It's like, it's not even. It's not even, I mean, it could be two drips. It could be like, you know, just nothing. And it's like they turned it into a major major situation. Hold on, I'm just telling the person that was writing me. I'm doing my podcast right now. There we go. Okay. So has there been a good example of a weatherman, I guess, would be, that you've seen in your history in terms of movies or TV? Has there been one you could even mention?
I honestly can't even think of one. I guess I was going to go like, no, I got nothing. I don't know why my mind went to Bill Nye the Science
Guy. Okay.
He's not even a weather guy. And now he pisses me off too. So I got nothing.
Oh, why does Bill Nye piss you off?
Here's the problem. You can't just assume one guy who's got a science degree in one thing knows everything. And he's all over like all of these networks talking about global warming and meteorology and all these issues that he legitimately knows nothing about. But they go to him as the weather expert instead right. of finding someone in the field who actually knows what the hell they're talking about. Get off my TV, Bill Nye.
Well, do you want to share? You want to share your opinions, or do you not want to go? Or is that too dangerous a topic right now?
That is that's on the line.
Okay,
we don't have time for.
Okay, we'll stop. We don't. Yeah, no. That's a whole episode of just going through. We don't have to go there. I'm perfectly fine. Would you say like David Letterman though was like a? He's not a character, but he was a. Letterman started as a weatherman. I guess technically he was more a weatherman than a meteorologist, though, right? Probably. He was more – I don't think he had a meteorology degree, right?
Yeah, back in the day, you didn't really need one. You just went there and had some swag, and that was that.
Yeah, and made some jokes. But what would you have to study now if you wanted to get into the business? What would be one of the schools you would recommend? Men, like you, if you're gonna do this, this is where you need to go. What's the prime school for this that you could?
Best thing is Mississippi State. That's where I went to school, and I'm not just I'm not just bragging on Mississippi State. Right. They have what's becoming popular is it like a mail-in degree or it's like an online school kind of.
Sure.
So, degree, they teach you everything you need to know, and you get a meteorology degree, and you don't have to move to Mississippi. I had to move to Mississippi. I recommend not moving to Mississippi. So.
Do you want to hear my one Mississippi story that I have? I was visiting a friend in Memphis, and we decided to drive down to Oxford. You know, I know your rival school, but so we stopped in at Oxford. We're going around. Nice city, had some grits and the whole thing, and good times. And we're driving back on this old country road with nothing in the area. And my friend, this girl I was friends with, was driving. And we're in the middle of this road, and there's a suitcase sitting right in the middle of the road. and I wanted to get out and look at the suitcase.
No way!
And I know, and she's like, it's a trap. It's going to be hillbillies. Hillbillies are trapping us. You're going to get a bear trap, and you're going to get caught, and then hillbillies are going to come out of the woods and shoot you or something like that. Don't do it, Devin. And she just refused, and she just drove over this, around the suitcase and drove like 80 miles an hour away from it. She thought we were walking right into a middle. And maybe we were, and maybe my curiosity would have gotten the best of me. But
we'll never know.
My one experience in Mississippi. Yeah, we'll never know if you wouldn't be here with me. I probably would be, chained up in a shack like Black Snake Moan or something like that. It would be an ugly situation.
What was the movie with Javier Bardem, and it was like the super action movie where the guy witnesses. No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. Is that the one where Josh Brolin finds the money?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
And maybe there was like a battle over like drugs and money. And everybody died or got out of there, and they left the drugs and money just there.
Yeah, that could have been it. I could have cleared like six figures, but then again, I would add a guy with a bad haircut and a cow. What are those weapons that he uses in that thing? It's like an air gun.
A cow gun? Like, was that what that was?
Yeah, I think it's used on cows. I think it's like, when they stun guns. Yeah, I think it's when you when you're killing cows, it's like a,
so that they die humanely. Yeah, that's
just, yeah, I guess. But,
well, this guy,
but yeah, but yeah, I know. Well,
he really took a dark turn.
We start talking about Mississippi, and that's you know, drug money. And
if at the start of the show, and, someone put odds on what we were going to be talking about, probably how to humanely kill cows was one of those.
Well, hey. Anybody that listens to this show knows where it goes, and as I tell everybody before the show, and I told you, I don't know where this is going. I don't know, you know, where we're gonna start. I have a few base questions, and we let it roll.
Yeah, we don't know where it's going, but we know it's a dark journey.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I mean, but it works. I mean, it's what it is. So we'll try to lighten it up here. So have you been? I met you in Vegas for one of the Roto Grinders parties. How has your experience been dealing with the Roto Grinders staff and people like that? I see this is a softball I'm setting up here
good.
For you.
No, so. But it's a good one because I want the people to know. Yeah. When I took this job, I didn't know what it was going to be like. I figured I'd get a lot of people mad at me for, you know, if something went wrong. I didn't think I would be that useful. I really didn't. I was like, how much can I help out in this capacity? I don't know, but I'll take the job because you're paying me to do it. So, all right. And as it went along and I started getting all this positive feedback, because I was the first weatherman meteorologist to start making these forecasts. And
right.
The feedback was ridiculous. My Twitter blew up and I've got like 20,000 followers and everyone's thanking me. Holy shit, this really helps. And then like the pinnacle, the crowning moment was that the first Roto Grinders party. I was there in Vegas with my girlfriend and like everyone there was like, you're Kevin Roth. Oh my God, what you do is amazing. And I felt like such a badass because my girlfriend was like, damn, babe, I didn't realize you were this big of a deal. And I was like, I didn't either. But
well, great. I mean, it makes sense because everybody's looking for an edge in this game. That's the whole point of the game because most people have the basic knowledge. Any little thing they could get, they're going to use as they're going to work with. And you bring that extra 2% or 5% or whatever. But that's the difference of money and not money, and that's all people care about. in this group. See, you did much better. I think I had one guy come up to me and said, "Hey, I really like your stuff," and then I was like, "Thanks," and then he walked away.
That's all right.
It was and I sat there. I sat there drinking my beer by myself. You know, but it's fun. It's fine. It's okay. Luckily, I have a good ego and I can handle it. You know,
right.
So I just said these stupid people don't care about me. Well, I don't care about them. No,
I went out of my way to tweet. There was a thing on Roto Grinders, and it said, "What is your favorite part of Roto Grinders? Like, what do you find most useful?" And since I don't play DFS, the only thing I look at on Roto Grinders is your stuff.
Oh, God. Wow. I'm so sorry.
The articles I read were like the Getting to Know the Grinders. So I immediately tweeted at you and I said, Ducky's stuff is my favorite on the site.
I did see that and I thank you for that. That means a lot to me because, you know. Because we're all fragile little flowers in this whole thing, and
because
you know,
won by default since all of the DFS stuff.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, you're not looking to find out who to pick in the British Open.
Yeah.
I know, and that's fine. It's I'm glad that I can bring something that you can enjoy.
Awesome.
I do. So to say the least. So well, I said it again. Damn it.
Damn it.
That's okay. I'll get over it. I used to say other things. When I first heard the Night Sweats episodes, I used to do certain things all the time. And I've gotten much better. What usually of the and yeah variety, things of that sort. The basic, the little things, the things you hear athletes do. What were some of the things that you had to overcome when you were first doing television?
I had a weighted arm.
Uh-huh. Well, describe that. What's a waiter on?
And when you go to a really fancy restaurant or you picture someone's butler and they have their arm out, like cocked at a 90-degree angle, and they've got like that napkin draped over their forearm?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. So
you know, you just see like the butler with the tray in one hand and the napkin draped over the forearm?
Yes, I understand completely now.
Okay,
yeah.
So whenever I was on TV, for whatever reason, like one of my arms would just lock into waiter arm position, and it would just so unnatural in human conversation. Like if you were just talking to someone and you just had waiter arm out there the whole time, they'd be like, dude, you're kind of weird. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's like you're doing mime in front of them or something like that. I can say, did you have to work it out? I mean, did you have to actually practice not doing that? Did somebody come up to you and say, we need to get this out of your thing? Or did you realize it while you were watching it?
It was like while I was still in school, I got my first job and it was like me and my professors were like working on me not doing waiter arms so bad. It's weird little things like that that are important in TV. If you look uncomfortable, then the viewer is uncomfortable. So you go over that stuff.
Were you as bad as Boom Goes the Dynamite guy or were you? It wasn't that bad, I assume, right?
Not that bad, but I was admittedly not good. It was mostly because when I first went to school and they put me on TV, I didn't know much about weather. I liked weather, but I didn't know how to do a weather cast. So I just got up there and just didn't know what I was talking about. Whereas if I was doing a sports cast, I've always been a huge sports fan, so I could knock that out. Then once I got the weather knowledge, I was able to be more comfortable, and here I am in Dallas.
So you win more from TV to weather than you did weather to TV?
No, it was at the same time. The program that I went to, it was a master's degree in meteorology with a broadcasting class every semester.
So I got it.
Grooming you specifically to be a broadcast meteorologist, the whole program.
So going back to your schooling – is there any bad word you want to say about Ole Miss before, you know, while you have the chance?
I don't really care about them. We're better than them. That's all that matters.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a clean way to deal with it. So, okay. Well, I think we got a good show here. I think we did well.
We got like the 30-minute time mark.
I think we're right around it. So yeah, I think, it's weird. I do the show and then I go, yeah, I think we're done. And like every time I do it, it's like within 1 minute. I never even look at a clock. It just kind of – I just hit a point.
You got the internal clock like Tom Brady. Exactly. You know when the pressure's coming.
Well, watch. I'll see it and it will be 18 minutes and I'll be, damn, what was I thinking? It was just – I was having so much fun. It went by so fast that I don't – you know, who knows? Why don't you let the people know where they can reach you on Twitter and what network you're on and where they can find your bloopers on YouTube?
Oh, God. All over YouTube. You can't just those. I'm on Twitter at KevinRothWX. I am on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram at KevinRothWX too. This is if you just like want to love me and don't give a shit about DFS.
Because
I help you.
Well, you know, not everybody is a DFS person. Sometimes they just want to know the people. And that's why we're here. That's right. Why both of us are here. We're the personalities, which is really saying a lot.
It's so sad.
but it's fine. It's fine. We're doing what we can to make it a more well-rounded place. How we have to treat it.
People want to watch on TV, I am in Dallas, Houston, Philly, D.C., Portland, and a handful of other smaller cities like Quad Cities and, I don't know, other random spots.
Wow.
You are
spread out.
Yes, I am.
You're bold. You really say you're taking over the country. I didn't even realize it was that big.
Yeah, we're getting strongholds in each corner of the country here. The show is called Eye Opener TV. It's a morning show, 5 to 8 a.m. Central in Texas, if you're Dallas and Houston, elsewhere, wherever you are. But it's a good show. My co-host is a comedian, and we just kind of talk about news, but we kind of screw around, and it's fun. So there's my plug.
Sounds good. Well, if I'm ever up at 3 in the morning, I'll try to find it.
There you go.
Which is always a possibility. You never know. So, okay. Well, that's great. Everybody, thanks for listening. Next week, I'm talking to one person about being a guest next week. We'll see. I think they're going to do it. We might have Notorious on next week. So,
man, Noto's so damn cool. I like that.
Yeah, I know. He dominated that basketball tournament one year.
He played exactly like me, only better in every single asset of the game. It was so frustrating.
Doesn't it suck? It really sucks. Yeah. I know. It's like, I'm retired, so I didn't even play. I just sat there and insulted everybody the whole game. So it's like, but I couldn't insult him. I was like, nah, he's athletic. I can't. I didn't let him go.
I thought that the basketball was going to go really well. And I was like talking crap. And then Noto posted like a link of him throwing down in high school, like mid game. He like ripped a kid at half court, dribbled down and crammed. And I was like, oh God, I'm in trouble.
Well, luckily for you, that was the only guy there that was like that. Everybody else was like beer league level, you know, and having heart attacks on the side of the court and things
Dan
like Bott that.
Dan, a surprisingly good basketball shooter. Just basketball player in general, but mostly shooter.
Yeah, more shooter. I mean, when you get to this age, it becomes shooter. Yeah. And I've run with that. So
I cut
all
you
right,
off.
Well, no, we're fine. No, that was necessary. I welcome it. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks, viewers.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye, guys.